two sources of news not commonly brought together.
And to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters
vitally affecting the community.
The Pacifica Mission Statement.
This is Quetzal Flores from the band Quetzal, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Halle Berry, and you're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by only one of my two favorite co-hosts, actually, this week, just one. Michelle is on sabbatical. She's actually in court. She's a practicing attorney. So she is defending the rights of the downtrodden, we can only assume. So she is not here. She'll be back next week. But we are lucky enough to be joined by another automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, current president of the Hispanic Motor Press Association, Ricardo Rodriguez Long. Hello, Ricardo.
Hello, Mark. Hello, everyone. What a pleasure to be with you again and so many things in Southern California. It's unbelievable.
We are lucky to be here, lucky to live here. Everything is groovy. We're going to dive right into our list of car calendar events. And as usually, we remind you, did you have something, Ricardo? You looked like you were about to say something.
I was going to say, yes, we have to remind you that things change. And sometimes there's just so many events. But once in a blue moon, someone decides to cancel or the weather is not cooperating. We're still having fire issues.
Yeah. always check before you go there. If we have a website on the event, we will certainly pass that on to you. But so many organizers don't put their website. In fact, most organizers don't put what their event is, where it is, or when it is. And I'm not making that up. So organizers, please put that down on your very attractive calendar posting, please. And if you don't find something here, if you want to find something else, a really good website is SoCalCarCulture.com. Check that out. And they have a huge list every single day. They have several things listed on that. A lot of cruise-ins, a lot of fiberglass hot rod things, you know, stuff like that, cars and or coffee. So we're going to start right out. Now, normally Michelle would cover this one because she loves this kind of stuff. Night of Destruction, racing at Paris Auto Speedway. Now that's Paris, P-E-R-R-I-S, not the other Paris. It's out way east of wherever you are right now. That is tonight, Saturday, October 5th at Paris Auto Speedway, Night of Destruction. Gates open 5 p.m. Qualifying starts at 7 p.m. It's only $22 to get in there. And that is not like, your typical old-fashioned dirt track where you walk through the dirt, the parking lot is dirt, the bathrooms are dirt. It's nothing like that. This is a modern, up-to-date speedway, and there's cement everywhere. They have a great sound system, wonderful grandstands, nice selection of junk food there at the the places where you buy food. So that's always a lot of fun, Paris Auto Speedway. So tonight you can get out there because it's only, 1 o'clock in the afternoon now, and stuff doesn't start happening until 7. So you got $22, don't you? This is the LKQ Pick Your Part Night of Destruction, by the way, featuring demo cross, figure eights, trailer figure eights, mini stocks, and double-deckers. Now, a double-decker is not the London bus. A double-decker is where you take two compact cars, bolt one on top of the other one. The guy on top is steering. The guy on the bottom is operating the pedals. We are currently soliciting bribes or whatever contributions for the car show double-decker entry out there. We have so far gotten nowhere, so we'll see what happens.
But it is a lot of fun. If you have not been at the Paris Auto Speedway, it's a very nice facility, and just tonight, just to see the trailer figure eights and these double deckers. That's a treat. You're going to enjoy. You're going to laugh. So make sure you take the family. Go with your friends. You're going to enjoy. Tomorrow, though, for all motorcyclists, come on, you got to go. They having the two-stroke extravaganza. Yes, two strokes. I don't know how they're going to be able to ride these bikes because, you know, two strokes be banned from California pretty much. But I surely miss that castor oil smell. Oh, wow.
And the blue smoke pouring out the back.
That's right. That's right. And sometimes green. What, you know, I think, Mark, we were lucky in our lifetimes to, you know, we grew up with motorcycles and two strokes were the thing we used to have fun with. The sound themselves, it's just such a nice bike.
It is something. They had a lot of horsepower for a very small amount of displacement. The two-stroke extravaganza is tomorrow, Sunday, October 6th, and the address is 3805 Calle Tecate. How did that sound, Ricardo? Calle Tecate?
Great. It sounded
in Camarillo, California. They have, they say, bikes, beer, and food. What more could you ask for? Well, and as you know, Formula D is coming, but if you can't get enough drift and you want more tomorrow, another event tomorrow, this one is at Irwindale Speedway. It's called NISFest, NIS as in Nissan or Nissan, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Irwindale Speedway. Find out more at NISFest.com. NIS has two S's. Another thing tomorrow at Supercar Sunday, our good buddies out there, they mark day for tomorrow. Sometimes they have a special day for special marks. Is NSX and GTR. That's at Pierce College, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. So you start your day there, you go to Irwindale, and then you go to the two-stroke extravaganza.
Yeah. The NSX is quite a car, and I feel sometimes, I don't know, I have kind of bad because it seems like it never really took off for whatever reason to be on par with the Lamborghinis and Ferraris. You know, the NSX is a very sophisticated car, and the latest version is a rocket, and there's just so much technology built into that car. It's amazing.
It's an amazing car to drive. I remember when that thing came out, 1989? Do I want to say that? Does that sound right?
Yeah.
And I, the first time I drove one, I was just amazed because I think the way that they lined up the wheels were just a little bit off. It sacrificed tire wear and rolling resistance for better grip and directional stability. And it just felt like nothing else you've ever driven. And first time I got in one of those, I got a press loan, and I just drove the entire length of Angeles Crest Highway and back at night when I had this car. And I returned the car, and I think the cords were showing through the tire treads. Yeah, if you like that car, if you like the GTR, I remember when the GTR was launched, they launched it to the press at the Nürburgring. And so I was driving the thing around the Nürburgring. OMG, that thing is quick. You know, powerful V6 engine, all-wheel drive, just amazing. So you have two really great examples of Japanese sports car technology, the NSX and the GTR, at Supercar Sunday at Pierce College in the Valley, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. That's tomorrow, Sunday, October 6th. Now, we have this event. I don't know much about it. It's called the Manx Club High Desert Buggy Fest. This is October 10th. To October 13th, way out in the desert. Let's see if I can get you a
it's going to be around the Silver Lake area, and there's a lot of trails in that area, so I'm sure it will be sort of a throwback to the days of the Manx Club, if you remember the buggies, you know, that became so popular in Southern California. And since we are next to the Mojave Desert, you know, it's what a better vehicle to go fast when you have a very lightweight chassis, just almost no brakes, and a powerful engine. And then you're going to be jumping up and down the sand dunes or the berms around the Mojave trails. So I think that's what it is. And there's going to be live music, food, it's just even dancing. So It's the buggy party in the park.
But as far as actual information, again, we debated about whether even to mention this because we don't have a contact for you. There's a Facebook events page thing, but it doesn't say much about it. So, you know, here's what we're doing. We're handing it off to you to research it. I looked and I couldn't come up with anything, but it sounded like such an interesting event. Manx Club High Desert Buggy Fest. So up around Silver Lake. So we just wish you good luck. If anybody actually shows up at that thing, let us know.
I'm sure, because there's a lot of people that like these boogies. There's a lot of people that like this monks. And I'm sure if you're into that, it will be a lot of fun.
Well, we keep waiting for the new one to come out.
Going to be electric, which I still don't know how you're going to go to Mojave with
no electric. It's not at all clear what's going on with that thing. I mean, they keep announcing new things. They showed one up at the jet party up at Pebble Beach, which was a special limited edition. They showed a neighborhood electric vehicle version last year. But I have not heard anything about here is the street version that you can drive and, you know, go more than 25 miles an hour. And so we're waiting for that, too. But anyway, let's move on to a place that does have a website. And this is a really fun event. The Japanese Classic Car Show will take place October 12th, Marina Green Park in Long Beach, all day long. Their website is, of course, very obviously, JapaneseClassicCarShow.com. It's a great show. There's so many cool little cars. They just really come out of the woodwork. Everything in LA, they just tilt LA up on its side, and all these cool Japanese cars tumble out and they wind up at Marina Green Park in Long Beach, October 12th. What do you think, Ricardo?
I think also isn't the Toyota Fest happening within this event at the same time?
Negative. Toyota Fest is the Japanese Classic Car Show is in the fall. Toyota Fest is in the spring. Two totally different events. But you will see some Toyotas here, but you'll see a lot of
I've been to the show a couple of times. I'm always amazed. And it's definitely a lot of people are into the Japanese cars. And now I've seen a lot of Corollas from the early 70s becoming almost collector pieces. I've seen people bring them from Japan to show. So it's really, really nice to see.
It is a great show and well worth it. I'm going to be there. I'm getting there, before sunrise probably because, they haven't finished putting up the fence and they're not necessarily stopping you at 5 a.m. Now, I, of course, have a credential because a legitimate big league journalist that I am, I could get in, but I get there really early and you can get some nice shots there on the green grass. Now, if you go, the general public is allowed in. I believe it's at 9 a.m. and there's always a line there. Don't get frustrated by the line. It's a good show. It's worthwhile. And the day after that is the Gretti Performance Products 30th anniversary celebration. So more JDM cars. That's Sunday, October 13th from 11 to 3. And the address is 9 Vanderbilt, Irvine, California. It's a car show, street fair, raffle, tuner, all kinds of JDM cars. That's the Gretti Performance Products 30th anniversary celebration, Sunday, October 13th.
Now, next Saturday, though, if you're into military vehicles, hey, here is a show for you. Right at Apple Valley, at the Apple Valley Airport, they're having what they call the Apple Valley Air Show, which of course will include airplanes, and there will be some flybys. There will be some jets, military airplanes, but also you're going to see some parachute men, and it's a car show dedicated to military vehicles. So that's going to be quite interesting if you are into military and airplanes. I will consider that. So go straight to the Apple Valley Airport, which is at 21,600. Corwin Road in Apple Valley, but it's very easy. Just look for the Apple Valley Airport, and that's going to be happening next Saturday all day long.
Yeah, and they mentioned Napa Auto Parts Car Show. So there will be a car component there, but there will also be lots of really cool airplanes. That sounds like a lot of fun. If you're up that area, Ricardo, you're not far from there. Maybe you could go check it out and report back. What do you think?
It was in my radar. Unfortunately, I will not be in town that weekend, but Definitely, right. I'll try to catch it next year.
All right. And if you like other things that fly, on Sunday, October 13th in Huntington Beach from 10 to 3, Cars and Copters. That's an inn, not Cars and Copters. Cars and Copters on the coast. Show Cars, VIP helicopters. The Cars and Copters on the Coast event features unique hypercars. So they're going to have a showing with cars. They're saying here, Koenigseggs, Bugattis, Paganis, McLarens, Lamborghinis, Astons, Martin, and many more, in addition to all kinds of cool helicopters. So the Cars and Copter show is free to spectators. However, if you want, you can pay a bunch more for certain VIP packages. There's even a VIP package here listed, the car show VIP package for $500 to get into that. Now, again, the show itself is free, so you can take the kids down there and go in there for free. But there are other options available to you. So check that out. It's worth checking out, it sounds like, doesn't it, Ricardo?
It's a helicopter show. Hey, you don't get to see too many helicopter shows.
So. You know, I've flown in helicopters. I've never flown one, but I bet you I could fly a helicopter. Do you think you could fly?
I don't know. Probably with practice, you know, everything we can learn, everything that we want to do. I'll be very, very, I don't know. I mean, I did fly airplanes, and I do recall the helicopters were a little bit more complicated.
I've seen them, and so there's one lever on your left hand that you pull up to change the pitch of the main rotor to give you more lift or less lift, and there's the stick to tilt the main rotor and the pedals to change the pitch on the tail rotor, and that's it. So I think I could do it.
Yeah, why not?
Maybe they'll let me try one.
You're driving a Lancia, so you can do anything.
Yeah, I can do anything. I can walk a lot. Now, again, back to drifting. If you can't get enough drift, the night before the Formula Drift at Irwindale, so this is an event hosted by Larry Chen, who is officially the coolest guy in the import scene. He puts on this thing called the Type S Nightlights Irwindale. That is going to be at the Fujiwara Tofu Cafe, 9216 Flair Drive, Unit B, El Monte, California, 91731. This is Thursday, October 17th from 7 to 11 p.m. You got to get there kind of early because the parking lots will fill up really fast, especially if you have a cool car that you want to show off. I did not, when I went, I did not have a cool car. In fact, I think I had a motorcycle, and you can park those anywhere. But it's a little bit like that very first Fast and Furious movie where all the quote unquote, all the kids are out, you know, showing off their cars and stuff like that. It's really nice. It's a fun thing. And that's he's putting it together just before the Formula Drift finale, which is October 18th and 19th. And last time I checked, there were tickets still available. You want to go to formulad.com. Tickets are $50 to $90. That's what I saw. Check that out. But make sure you get a ticket because this event often sells out. So before you go, you've got a couple weeks here. Make sure that there is a, make sure you have a ticket. So go to formulad.com to make sure that you can get in.
It's a very popular event. And I do recall it happened more than once where it was completely sold out.
Yes.
And people just keep coming in, that there was no more parking space.
Right.
The police had to get involved to divert the traffic because people wanted to see the show. And it's like, hey, it's full. I mean, it's beyond capacity. So,
yeah. And also parking often fills up. And
yes.
So a little insider tip is if you keep going east of on the other side of the freeway, east of the 605, there are a lot of industrial buildings and there are parking lots in front of them. Now, this is not an officially sanctioned parking activity, but everybody does it. So you have to walk about a half mile or a mile or something. But it is possible to park there. So Formula Drift, you know, that was the original, what was it?
The House of Drift.
The House of Drift, Irwindale, the House of Drift. And what's this next one? Off-road rally, Ricardo. You like that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm not so...
Smugglers Run, post-apocalyptic off-road rally. So if you like, what's that movie with the Mel Gibson and its Australian director?
Mad Max.
Mad Max type stuff. These guys are going to have an off-road rally October 18th to 20th. over 150 miles from Barstow to Big Bear to Johnson Valley and Joshua Tree. That covers almost all of post-apocalyptic California. They're going to have an interactive thematic escape room scavenger hunt is how they described it. Go, if you don't understand it from what we're saying, go to smugglersruns.com/event. That's October 18th to 20th. I guess there are a lot of people who take sedans and turn them into four-wheel drive vehicles. You know, they lift them up, put big tires on them and stuff.
Yes. Or sometimes you end up with what happened to me this year. I mean, in a rally, they told us it will be some dirt parts of it, you know.
Yeah.
I did about a mile, and I was like, okay, this is not, you really need a 4x4 car for this road.
What car were you, was that your Shelby?
Yeah.
So they wanted you to take a Shelby on a dirt road.
Well, you know, it's adventure, right? So
you ought to talk to Michelle and have her soon.
I was thinking, this could be for me. October 18th to 20th. Post-apocalyptic, right. That sounds like a lot of fun to me.
It's always fun after the apocalypse. Just a couple more quick items before we get out of the calendar section here. Our good friend Bo Bachman at Galpin is back. The Galpin Car Show is Sunday, October 20th. And, of course, Galpin, as you know, is at 15505 Roscoe Boulevard in North Hills, California. The car show goes from 9 to 2. You can register your car for free at galpinmotors.com/car show. They say it's 10 car shows in one, featuring exotics, off-roaders, European cars, JDM, and they go on and on until they get 10 categories. So should be a lot there. And the California Hot Rod Reunion, nostalgia race-laced drag racing, a tradition since 1992. It's back, and that's way the heck up. the Hot Rod Reunion, let's see. October 25th and 27th, and we're getting way out there. Yep. This will be produced by Famoso Drag Strip and will benefit the Wally Parks NHRA Motorsports Museum. Tickets can be bought at famosodragstrip.com/hotrodreunion, all one word. So
it's a nice event. I've been to one of them, and I have to say they do a great job, and it's so nice to see all these old dragsters. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. These men were brave. To be running these cars, when you see them and you said you strapped yourself on top of a differential with 400, 500 horsepowers. It was an amazing period.
The differential is right. It's not even between your knees. It's farther up, let's just say. And
yeah.
Boy, that thing blows. You're not having kids. Okay, another event, Nitro Reunion, coming up. This will be the last one we have time for in the calendar section. November 8th to 9th, way out there. Nitro Reunion, put on by Steve and Cindy Gibb. Gibbs. Now, you remember Steve was the vice president of operations at NHRA forever. And a very hardworking guy put that together. So that'll be November 8th and 9th at Irwindale Speedway. I went last year or the year before, lots of cool cars, 2 days of great and cool cars. And that's all we have. We're moving on to the news section. We're going to start the news section, Ricardo, with good news. Remember last time we talked about this proposal to have speed limiters on cars in California. If you went over 65 miles an hour, it would start beeping. Now, can you imagine anything more irritating than that? I can't. But Governor Gavin Newsom, whether you like him or not, he vetoed that bill. So we got to like him for that. And the bill would have required new vehicles sold in California to be equipped with a warning system to alert drivers if they go over the speed limit by 10 miles per hour. Okay, so you'd have to be going 75 miles per hour. But everybody in L.A. goes 80 miles an hour if the traffic allows. So it just would have been irritating everybody, and it would not have been good for anything. But Newsom announced his decision to reject the bill, and he wrote a message to legislators that although he appreciates the intent to improve traffic safety, the legislation, quote, presents several challenges, unquote. Yeah, like none of these legislators would ever be reelected again in their careers. They would have had to go back to bagging groceries or whatever they did before that. Not that there's anything wrong with bagging groceries. I did it for a while. back in my wayward youth.
In another news, this is kind of like a sad story, but it does happen. Once in a while, vehicles have some malfunctioning that the manufacturers find out, and they said, you know what, we want to recall these vehicles. We want to take a second look. And this happens to Jeep, specifically to the 2020 through 2024 Jeep Wrangler and the Jeep Grand Cherokee. There are plug-in hybrids. It's a shame because it's a great product and there are, you know, selling a lot of these, but it seems that there is an issue that involves some component in the battery or some electrical component. All we know is that it could lead to a fire. So we don't need any more fires in Southern California. So if you own a 2020 through 2024 Jeep Wrangler, please contact your dealer and tell them that you hear about the recall at the car show so they can get to work on it right away. Of course, every time there is a recall, these things are no cost to you. And if a manufacturer, you know, has this, they find something and they're doing a recall, for sure is something that you need to do as soon as possible. Yeah. You don't need to be the first owner, okay? If you're the second or third owner, you still qualify for the repairs, and these are repairs for free.
There are lots of recalls for lots of cars. You can go to NHTSA.gov/recalls, and you can plug in your car and the year and all that other stuff, and you can see if you have a recall. In fact, my Nissan Leaf has a recall for the backup camera, which I have to make an appointment to go in and get that thing fixed. It works intermittently, and I guess it should be working all the time. So they have a recall for that. Your car might have one. I think it's a fairly common thing to have a recall.
Yes.
It's not necessarily a scandalous thing. There are 6,000 parts on a car, and they all have to work together. And, you know, they launch the car on the market, and turns out, oh, this part doesn't work. So they make the recall, and they get it fixed.
Go ahead.
As Ricardo says, no cost to you, right?
And since we're talking about recalls, I've been shocked because this is the second recall for the manufacturer that has been sort of the most trouble-free car ever. But Toyota is having a recall now with the brand new Tacoma pickup truck. They have an issue with the transmission. So it's unfortunate. I don't know the details, but yes, the transmission will be replaced in most cases because that's the most effective.
That's expensive, man.
Yeah, and that this follows the engine issue that the Toyota Tundra had on their V6, which they figure out that at some point when they were machining the block, a little bit of metal debris was trapped somewhere, and it's causing these failures. But Toyota is saying, hey, no problem, bring your Tundra or your Tacoma back, and we'll replace either the engine or the transmission so you can feel comfortable and continue living with your car without any headaches.
Okay. Well, let's go on to some good news. McLaren has confirmed the W1 as the P1 successor. Anybody remember the P1? Did either of us own?
Amazing car.
Amazing car. Let's see. There was speculation about this, and now it's been confirmed. McLaren has confirmed, this is according to Autoweek.com, so it must be right. McLaren has confirmed that a P1 successor is not only in the works, but will show its face in a matter of days. So that might be even by the time you hear this. It was scheduled for October 6th. So that would be actually tomorrow when they make the official announcement. If you're wondering where this alpha numeric name came from, McLaren has an answer. The company said about the name, the W1 name celebrates McLaren's world championship mindset. So the world? I don't know. With the public reveal date marking the 50th anniversary of McLaren winning its first Formula One Constructors' Championship. Yeah, McLaren is, they're going great guns in F1 now. It looks like our buddy Lando Norris is going to pass the evil Max Verstappen. Okay, he's not evil, but still, I mean, he just kept winning. And now it's no longer boring. It's getting interesting thanks to Lando and everybody else who is catching up.
And McLaren's leadership, you know, not having a number one and number two driver is making this very exciting as well.
Yeah.
Mr. Piastri's shown that he can also be pretty quick.
Yes.
So, you know, he has taken a lot of points from Lando. So it's very interesting that a team that can be winning the world championship in terms of constructors and have a driver with a potential to be the world champion will not put a plan, a strategy together to make that happen, right, instead of risking points and putting both teammates out. But it's F1. It's the biggest circus in the world on wheels, and I love it.
Well, that's another reason that Verstappen was doing so well, is he didn't really have any challenge in his own stable there.
It all changed when they found that valve on the brake system that allowed the wheels to brake independently, something that Checo Perez didn't have in his car. And since they removed that valve on Max Verstappen's car, all of a sudden he is not leading anymore.
Yeah, so that's W as in world champion. So that car, here's a trivia question for you. Who won the first Constructors' Championship, Formula One Constructors' Championship for McLaren? Time's up. It was Fittipaldi, Emerson Fittipaldi, and he was driving an M23. That was some amazing time. I mean, McLaren was winning in Formula One, was winning in Can-Am, and now they're coming back to winning in Formula One. I don't know. It's hard not to root for these guys. They're doing.
And it's
so
a company
well.
That is dedicated to the sports of motoring. Everything they do, it's made for a car to go faster and faster and faster. It's definitely an engineering company, and even the customers are like it. So such a, to me, it's such a, even though these cars are both are outstanding performance, but you know, Lamborghini, it's the complete opposite of McLaren in terms of demographics, right, and feel, right, how the cars react, everything about them.
I agree. Yeah, I think of among the supercars, you know, I'm not disparaging Lamborghini, but if you're looking for a car that offers precision around a corner, it's really tough to beat McLaren, I think. So
another car that is quite a star, it's the new Rolls-Royce.
And this is interesting. You know, just in time, I don't know if you've been following the activities out in space, but the moon, our moon, has acquired a moon. And it has another moon that is going to be orbiting around our moon for I forget how long. And at some point, it will then break free of the orbit of that moon and continue around the sun. I don't know how that's possible, how a body like our moon can capture this orbital particle and then release it. I don't know how that happens. It's beyond
maybe it's Elon Musk's roaster.
That's true. That thing is out there somewhere waiting to wreak havoc. It's going to like crash land on it as he's on his way to Mars.
It will be our introduction to ET.
He's going to look out the window on his way to Mars, and to his horror, he sees his roadster crash into his spaceship. But anyway, the moon is only the theme here. This is a one-off lunar Rolls-Royce. Rolls-Royce has unveiled the breathtaking Spectra Luna Flare, a bespoke commission undertaken on behalf of a significant client. I like how they don't mention any names. In the United States, the extraordinary and exquisite highlight of this landmark motor car, they say, is the remarkable holographic paint finish that creates a captivating rainbow effect. Now, Rolls-Royce is not the only company that offers this one-off stuff. Although up at Pebble Beach, we got to see a couple of examples of beautiful Rolls-Royces that were done up as per customer orders. I mean, they were just exquisite. The detail on the dash, the paint, just everything.
I do recall one vehicle in particular that the whole dash was encrusted with diamonds.
Yeah.
For a special customer. And I have to say, some of these customizing at that level is just amazing, because you can think of, I would like to get diamonds on my dashboard. Yes, but to actually do it is not easy. And so all these extravagant, crazy ideas that people have, actually they make it happen, and they become such a unique automobile. And I think that's also part of the new Rolls-Royce that is creating, you know, individuals one-off for special clients, and this lets them to maintain the value of the vehicle. They become collectors right off the bat, because there's none other one that is the same. So I've seen ostrich leathers. I've seen, you know, things that are quite extravagant, and it's just amazing. The craftsmanship is
all of these top-end luxury marks. I know McLaren does it. I was just in a Bentley last week. Rolls-Royce does it. I'm trying to think I don't want to say they all offer it, but they have a special division that does what they sometimes call bespoke commissions. So whatever you want your car to look like, you can have it look like. And this was the most recent one, this Rolls-Royce commission. It takes its inspiration and name from the optical phenomenon of a lunar halo, which appears as a colorful circle of light around the moon. It depends what you've had for dinner, too. Sometimes you can see a colorful circle of light around the dining room table, depending on what you happen to have ingested that very night. Shall we do some sad news? Some more sad news? If you like Mercedes, if you like the shape of Mercedes, you really have to thank Bruno Sacco, who was the head of Mercedes design from 1975 until 1999. They came out. Remember the Mercedes 190? Ricardo, you owned or may still own?
Yeah, the baby Benz. Yes, I still own the baby Benz.
Really cool looking car. The S3, presided over three generations of S-Class. Numerous other cars, the CLK, the SLK, they were all produced under his design and produced under his guidance. Bruno Sacco, he grew up in Italy, so he was an Italian who moved to Germany. And that really, I mean, he was a little bit conservative, but it was really good to have an Italian perspective on design at Mercedes, because Mercedes is a very conservative company and might not have done anything terribly interesting.
But I have to say, Mark, that it's very difficult to have a designer that did what Mr. Bruno Sacco did, because these cars are still good looking today. They're timeless pieces. I mean, pretty much 90% of what he worked on, they're things that have become collectors, or they're just timeless piece machines. So it's quite interesting. It's easier to be constantly developing something new, but if we recall at that time Mercedes-Benz, you know, people tend to keep the cars for a long time, so it'll be very common, because the cars were at that time, you know, the quality was outstanding, much more than what unfortunately is today, and people, they like to keep these cars for a long time. So to keep the car fresh is not something easy to design and make it, you know, like it's going to become a classic. But this man did.
Yeah, he did. Bruno Sacco passed away September 19th at the age of 90. He once said, "You can recognize good design by the lack of schnick-schnack."
True.
So keep the schnick-schnack off of your car, whatever you can do. Did we already discuss the – there's one more obituary, and I don't know if we discussed it last week.
No, we haven't. No.
Okay. If you've ever been saved from a speeding ticket by a Valentine radar detector, you owe Mike Valentine a note of thanks. Mike Valentine passed away, sadly, about a week or two ago. He was a great guy, a very innovative guy. He was sort of a radio, an amateur radio enthusiast when he was growing up as a teenager, and he went off to the University of Cincinnati, and I think he studied electrical engineering, if I'm not mistaken, and he was called a lifelong tinkerer, graduated from the University of Cincinnati in 1973 with a degree in electrical engineering, and right the very next year after he graduated, President Nixon signed the Emergency Highway Energy Conservation Act, otherwise known as the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. None of us could drive 55. We needed a hero. Mike Valentine was that hero. He stepped up. He started the company was originally called Escort. Escort, of course, is still with us under different management. He left that company and started his own Valentine, and the company now offers the V1 Gen 2 radar detector that points out where the radar signals are coming from. So you know if it's coming in front of you, behind you, beside you, or something like that. So you better act to avoid the radar that is out there. So we give a tip of the hat to Mike Valentine, and we say farewell to him. And thanks for catching all of our, well, you know, whoever owned one of these probably had a lot fewer speeding tickets than they would have otherwise. I used to have an escort, a radar detector, and I don't know what happened to it. It has since disappeared. So I am depending on spidey sense now. And I think as you get older, as an older driver, you tend to know where you should slow down and where you can speed up. I think there's a lot to that. I think you don't want to be speeding through a neighborhood that has a lot of driveways and side streets and a lot of traffic. That's one thing, you know, it's your accumulated knowledge in your head sort of saves you. And that's what I have been depending on since my escort went away, escort radar detector went away. And I think it's always nice to have that, though, that radar detector with you. It supplements, like Waze, if you're going on a long trip, you know, Waze will tell you where it's a, what do you call it, crowdsourced information. Yeah. Yeah, it'll tell you where police are, where radars are, you know, where there's traffic and things like that. So that is certainly a help. But the radar detector, you know, is part of
you're not telling people to go over the speed limit, are you?
I'm telling people to drive safely. For goodness sake, drive safely. Don't do stupid things. Now, how do you get that into the heads of the people who are doing stupid things? Because I don't think they're listening and taking my advice. You know, the people who are listening, they probably already are. They know not to speed through a school zone. And, you know, they know not to speed through a crowded street in downtown L.A. You know, if you're out in the middle of nowhere, that's a different thing. You know, that. Choice is up to you. As they told us in Catholic school, free will, you have free will. So, you know,
talking about free will, you have to have some free will to be able to, you know, drive something that is powerful and beautiful at the same time. So how did you manage to drive a gorgeous car?
Well, I drove just recently. I was in Europe, as you know. I am a European snob, so I was over there and I got to drive the new 2025 Bentley Continental GT Speed. This car has a top speed of 208 miles per hour. I really like the look of this car. The new one is coming out, I think, the beginning of this next year. So early in 2025, it'll be coming out. Now, the thing you have to put this in context. So you've got your this is the Bentley Continental GT Speed. So that is the coupe version of the Bentley. So it is predetermined to be fast, obviously, but it is also fun to drive. But the way I look at it, where it sits in the pantheon, if there is such a thing as a pantheon of fast cars, you know, it's one thing to pick the right car for driving over Alpine passes. You know, you can get a McLaren, a Ferrari, or a Porsche to do that. And we did that. I think we drove over six different Alpine passes in the course of this day driving these Bentley Continental GT Speeds. But what if you wanted to go beyond the pass and back down on the plains and you're flying over the tundra there in Europe on the auto routes, the auto stradas, the auto bonds, and you're doing that in addition to going over the Alpine passes. I would say if you wanted to cross a continent, get a Continental GT Speed because it does both. Now, what's new on this thing? Let me tell you exactly what's new. It's 771 horsepower. Now, as you know, this is the fourth generation of Bentley Continental GTs that has come out. The first one started with a W12 because, of course, Volkswagen purchased Bentley many, many years ago. Started out with a W12. Second generation had W12 and V8. There was still a W12 available in the third generation, but now it has a hybrid drivetrain making 771 horsepower, 738 pound-feet of torque. That's 121 more horsepower, 74 more pound-feet of torque than the W12. And they showed us a graph showing power and torque bands. And at every point across that power and torque band, the new hybrid has more than the W12. That's good for 0 to 60 in 3.1 seconds. That's almost a half a second quicker than the W12. And of course, that top speed, 208 miles per hour. One thing that was interesting about this, it's a plug-in hybrid. So there was talk that talk from Bentley itself, saying it was going to go all electric by a certain date. It seems to have delayed that conversion to all electric to hang on to this and sort of make this transition with this plug-in hybrid. Now, the plug-in hybrid has a 26 kilowatt-hour battery, 25.9 kilowatt hours for all you web commenters. And that, of course, increases the curb weight. So it's a little bit of a heavy car, 5,421 pounds for the coupe, add 365 pounds for the convertible, both of which will be available at launch. So it's heavier than the previous car, but it has more power and more torque. So I enjoyed driving this thing. It's not a sports car. It's a Grand Tourer, as it says in its title. GT stands for Grand Tourer. So I give it two thumbs up. I really enjoyed it. But, of course, I don't have $302,000 to purchase one. So maybe you do. And if you do, you will not be disappointed.
I like the design on that car because it's I think it's, again, it's one of those timeless machines. And the quality of the interior is just outstanding. I mean, it's really, really nice. I love the materials that they use. And once you open the door, you get into the cabin, and you feel that all those aromas, right? There's like, wow, there is high quality in these. If you like leather, of course.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that they showed us, they had a configurator set up, and we were talking about customization. The figure that they gave us, that you could come up with 46 billion different combinations for this. Now, that's including everything, you know, the interior fabric, the trim fabric, the cross stitching, the exterior color, just so many different possible configurations of this. But suffice to say, you will not. There's a Bentley Continental GT out there that will keep you happy. Now, they may come out with just a plain old V8 version of this later. They did not confirm that, but I think it's kind of obvious to anybody who has been familiar with this Continental GT in the past. So I think you could expect to see just a regular non-hybrid V8. Coming out soon. But I drove two of them. I drove a coupe and a convertible, and one of them had this purple trim on the leather that I just loved, and it matched the purple trim on a previous Bentley that I had not too long ago. It's sort of like a Morticia Adams look to it, and I really loved that thing. So if anybody's planning to buy me a Bentley, please trim it. Okay, so I want the base black leather. I want the trim of that black leather to be this purple. So keep that in mind for Christmas, you know.
Right. That's one of the 46 billion combinations.
That's one of the 46 billion. It's out. Your combination is out there. So it's a B, not an M. So and I was trying to figure out what this competes with. And I would really have to – you'd really have to go with the various – different GTs that are out there. So the Aston Martin DB12 or the Aston Martin Vantage, the right. AMG GT, the Maserati Gran Turismo, or even the BMW 8 Series Coupe, I would say would compete with it. But those tend to be more sporty. And this one sacrifices a little bit of the sportiness, obviously because of the weight too, in order to get more of a comfortable ride. And perhaps it's my advanced age. I don't know, but I was very comfortable in that, and it did not beat you up. And there's more room inside too. So yeah. I'm going on and on about this.
It's a wonderful machine. Now, since you are talking about a two-door European model, then let me tell you, I also drove a European two-door coupe.
I assume it was very similar to the Bentley Continental GT.
Very, very similar. I love the stitching on the seats of this car because they had the brand. It's stitched all over the seats, so you can't forget. Now, I'm talking about a vehicle that it's a two-door. It has four seats, although I think it's really more, it's just like a coupe. There's really no room for people in the back. So I would say it's a two-seater. It's all electric, and I'm talking about the new in the market. Fiat is returning to United States with an electric, the 500e, which we were all familiar with the 500s. I love the Abarth version, the sound, how quickly steer. It was almost like a go-kart. I really enjoy that. Now, this is something totally different, but it's an electric vehicle that, to me, it makes sense because it's just a commuter car for the inner city. Not, you don't need something big. It's easy to charge. It can, you can park it anywhere. It will do everything that you need. And that's, I think, what electric vehicles should be, something that is practical, economical, and take you from A to B without you having to use gasoline. Now, the 500e comes in different flavors. I had the opportunity to drive one that they call La Prima. I have to explain this because when you start accelerating that vehicle, once you get to 20 miles an hour, La Prima song starts coming through the speakers.
Now, you say song. Yeah, is this an actual song or is this fake engine sound or what is this?
No, it's a song. It's an actual
somebody
song.
Singing?
Yes, someone is singing.
Okay, that's a deal killer for me. Every time I accelerate, I have to listen to Pavarotti.
And it will stop once you get to 25 miles an hour. Well, it will stop. So it's kind of like telling you, hey, I'm here.
Oh, boy, that is really, really awful.
And there are other options, as I understand. You can have, a different type of music. But La Prima 500e that I drove, actually, it drove great. It's a very basic electric car, but it's all about the styling. And can't get over how cute this car is. There still maintains the uniqueness of that shape of the Fiat 500, the 600, that it was one of the best sellers in Europe, in many parts of the world. It was manufactured, and it always offered this basic transportation. As I mentioned, it's an electric car, but with a twist. I think this car is really developed for the European market. So I feel that sometimes the comparisons don't do justice because we're comparing apples to oranges. The range for the 500e, it's only about 140, 150 miles, which a lot of people said is not enough. Well, the average person drives around 40 miles a day. So if you have a level 2 charger at home, which is a must if you have an electric car, you can pretty much connected every night and you don't have to worry about. It does have a smaller size battery. That's why you have a shorter range, but that makes the car a lot lighter. So it is very dynamic. You can have fun when you drive it. It also, the entry cost, these cars start at $29,000, $30,000. The MSRP is about $32,000 to $34,000, but there's always some discounts. And you can also apply for it's a foreign car, so will not qualify for the subsidies.
Yeah, but that's hurting it for sure.
But it's still one of the cars. It's one of the lowest priced electric cars in the market. The next one will be the Nissan Leaf. And I take the Fiat over the Leaf at any time, just on the design alone. I enjoy driving it. I have to say it was plenty of powerful. 117 horsepower out of this electric motor. It's front wheel drive. So there's a small trunk in the back. Like I said, I enjoy for what it is. I thought all electric cars should be like these. Basic commuters that take you from A to B with a lot of styling that make you feel, hey, I'm driving. This is just not a corner box. It has certain flares. I love the stitching on the seats, I have to say. I thought it was very clever. And the interiors have a design that makes the cockpit feel much bigger than what it is. As a matter of fact, I had a passenger one time, and this person is quite big. I would say easy 250 pounds and at least 5'9". And he was mentioning, oh, this car is roomy inside. Yes, it is. So it's very, it's much bigger inside than what you think about. Now, the rear seats, I would say, no, that's just an excuse because there's really no room for the legs. So,
but could kids sit back there, little kids?
Little kids could sit, yes.
Yeah.
But, not
child
kids
seat.
Not kids that are 6 year or older will fit anymore.
Okay. Now, I noticed just while you were talking, I Googled sales on this. The first 8 months of 2024, production at the Fiat Mirafiori plant dropped by 83% compared to the same period in 2023. And in the United States, only 204 units were sold so far in 2024. And in
there
fact, Stellantis is pausing production. This is according to just like a week or two ago, according to Car and Driver quoting Automotive News Europe, Stellantis is pausing production of the Fiat 500e. The stoppage comes after slowing demand in the European market and almost non-existent demand here in the U.S. So while Ricardo and I liked this car, now I speak as the owner of a Mitsubishi IMEV and a Nissan Leaf, which are, I guess, similar in size and purpose to this. So I like that kind of thing. But not enough people feel the same. 204 units in the U.S. as of September 12th.
That makes it unique, Mark.
That does.
You will be standing out everywhere.
And the dealer
with a red.
The dealer is willing to deal on this. So maybe you can get it down from, 32,000 was what it was going for? Was the sticker price?
It's 29,900. You know, 30,000, 32, depends on the options. You know, it does have an 85-kilowatt built-in DC charger. So it will allow you to charge the battery in about 30 minutes, you know, from 20%, which is pretty, pretty good. Actually, I when I tried it, I just plug it for 5 minutes, and the 5 minutes gave me like 25 miles. And I go, oh, well, you know, that's decent. That's decent.
Yeah.
I didn't have to spend a lot of time. It was a quick charge, but I was surprised how much charge I got.
Well,
much
depends
more than
on
other
the-
cars.
It depends on the state of charge of the battery, obviously. If it's a lower state of charge, then it gets more miles quicker.
Right.
Now, at the beginning of this year, the 500e, Fiat 500e, was the leading electric city car in Europe for the second year in a row. So it was popular in Europe, but
I think, Mark, also we have to remember that Stellantis as a company is going through some changes right now. I mean, they just announced that Carlos Tavares needs to be replaced next year. It needs to be replaced just because the work, you know, the labor laws in Europe don't allow a person to stay after they pass certain age. But, you know, all across the world, every Stellantis product is being revisited. We don't know, for example, what's the future for Chrysler. They're making beautiful minivans. But can they just survive with one car? I don't know. The Jeep is doing great, so it will continue with no problems. The same thing with pickup trucks. Ram in the United States is a very, very brand that it's very well recognized.
Right.
But there's some other products within the Stellantis that I don't know if they will have a future or not. So as you know, and everyone that listens to our show knows, I believe that we're going through a transformation, and I think some legacy automakers have to reinvent themselves for the next phase, because electric vehicles are coming for sure, and it's a new world for the automakers.
Yeah, the trend. When will that transition happen, and at what rate? I think that people thought it was going to happen a lot quicker than it seems to be doing. But it is still, I think, every time I try and look up stats, electric vehicle sales continue to rise. It's just they're not just taking over the entire market. So
this is something that is happening here in the United States, though. In other parts of the world, the EV cars are being adopted. I mean, China, 50% of the sales are already electric vehicles. So obviously, the people want them. But you also have to offer them something that they want. And I think right now we have too many choices with electric vehicles. You know, for example, the Mini Cooper that has become an electric car as well, right?
Right.
I think it's a great electric car, but the sales, just like the Fiat, are not showing what's happening. So we're getting concerned. But pretty soon, we are running out of energy, Mark. So we're going to have to start wrapping up this show.
Yeah, we're running out of time here on the show. In addition to energy around the world, stick around for Bill Garner. Am I saying, I always get his name wrong, Garner, Garland is. Stick around for the show after us, Rhapsody in Black, 2 hours of great music you never knew you loved until you heard it. Next week, our own Michelle Spencer will be back, Ricardo will be with us, I'll be here, and we'll all greet you on the car show.
Support comes from Art Don't Sleep and Jazz Is Dead, presenting Cell live on October 6th at the Lodge Room in Highland Park. The Brazilian songstress will bring to life her latest album, recorded and produced here in Los Angeles by Adria Young, titled Novela. Opening set by Paul Bobrand. For tickets, visit jazzisdead.com.
Support comes from the Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum, returning June 1st through October 20th with outdoor repertory theater and educational programs for all ages. The Theatricum's signature production of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream is back alongside The Winter's Tale, Wendy's Peter Pan, a fresh take on the J.M. Barrie classic of a boy who wouldn't grow up, Tartuffe Born Again, a new translation and adaptation of the Molière masterpiece, and the Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine Vote. The Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum is located in the heart of Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway in the shade of the California Live Oaks. For further information and tickets, visit www.